Hello, I'm Lori Watanabe, the editor of Mobility Management Magazine. Thanks for tuning back into the Mobility Management Podcast. Today, I'm joined by Jeff Preston, the VP of Brand and Product from Motion, formerly Motion Specialties. Jeff is an industry veteran, and he's currently the president of OMEPA, the Ontario Home Medical Equipment Providers Association. Canadian-owned and operated, Motion is Canada's leading provider of comprehensive and customized mobility and home accessibility solutions, and Motion serves communities in Alberta, British Columbia, Manitoba, Ontario, and Saskatchewan. So, Jeff, very, very excited to have you. Thanks for joining me on the podcast.
Hi, Lori. It's a pleasure to speak with you today. Thanks for having me. I also wanted to thank you on behalf of industry providers in Canada for bringing us the informative media that Mobility Management does online and through these podcasts to keep us all abreast of the industry trends and news. And thanks for doing that for us.
I appreciate that. It's fun. And I've come to love podcasts. So I wanted to catch up with Motion for a couple of reasons. First of all, you're an industry veteran, so you've seen a lot even before this pandemic. But I also wanted to catch up to see what you've noticed, if anything has changed, whether that's operations or your clients, if you've been noticing different trends among your clients. Just wanted to kind of talk to a large provider and see what you're experiencing. So we're in the third year of our pandemic. You've been with Invacare Corporation, Shoppers Home Health, VGM, before you joined Motion about 10 years ago. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you've had a long career. So my first question for you is, how have your seating and wheeled mobility clients changed during the pandemic? I'm wondering if you're seeing any changes. And by changes, I mean, for example, have you seen any changes in their function that you suspect could be linked to pandemic circumstances, such as maybe greater isolation or greater reluctance to regularly come in for seating clinic appointments? Maybe that's caused a progression of scoliosis, or maybe their range of motion has been impacted. Also, I wanted to ask you emotionally and socially if your clients have been impacted by increased isolation.
Yes, it's certainly been an interesting few years, Lori, and that has also brought a lot of maturity and change and challenges to our industry, for sure. At the same time, I think it also brought tremendous opportunity for providers like Motion to bring an increased focus to our clients and how best to serve them when they need it the most. There's no doubt about it that there was and continues to be some disruptions at seating clinics and rehab facilities where someone would schedule a repair during the waves of COVID and couldn't get to it or changes had to be made. And during some of the lockdown periods in Ontario, where I reside and where Motion is very prominent, you know, we have probably had the strongest lockdown periods of anywhere in North America. And we certainly saw, you know, waves of service requests and evaluation requests based on what was going on, our ability to see clients during those times. We also saw a significant shift from appointments being in hospital facilities, seating clinics or rehab facilities, to Motion locations. We build all of our locations with assessment rooms that are fully equipped with plinths, ceiling lifts, all the equipment required to do proper evaluations within our facility. So we saw a significant shift in that way to our facilities, which offer accessible free parking and are very accessible and also in a safe, less crowded environment or less COVID-infected areas, potentially within hospitals or healthcare facilities. So, and we've seen that continue. For example, we have a major rehab facility, Hamilton, Ontario. They continue to use Motion facilities 3 days per week in a scheduled way. Even though we moved out of the pandemic, they just found it more convenient. But during the pandemic, again, it was easier for those clinicians and clients and caregivers to be in a safe environment with full COVID protocols. And I think that makes everybody comfortable and easier to work with. So we did overcome some of those challenges in that way. But, you know, anytime people put off an appointment for an evaluation, for an adjustment, or for a repair to their equipment, there's certainly a higher risk of progression for them, and that equipment could no longer suit their needs or due to a changing medical condition. And anecdotally, I could say that we believe the pandemic did have a more drastic effect on clients with progressive conditions. And those who required new equipment or were due for, say, a seating evaluation, a re-evaluation of their seating and positioning needs. And some of those things had to be put off. And, you know, we believe, and I believe it's kind of clinically appropriate that our clients who are wheelchair users should have a proper seating and positioning evaluation every 2 years for potential changes in their needs or in the product breakdown. So all of those things certainly occurred over the last number of years. And I'll speak to social isolation for a minute. It's always been higher, obviously, in seniors and persons with disabilities who have mobility challenges. And COVID certainly accelerated that scenario for those individuals. We certainly saw that, especially people who could not get personal support or other healthcare provision in the home as frequently to be able to get to appointments or were isolated because of lockdowns. We certainly noticed that effect on our clients, and our interactions with them showed that very regularly.
Let me just make sure that I understand when you're talking about motion, making room for and inviting your healthcare partners and your consumers and their caregivers and the rest of the team, right?
Yeah,
everybody who's in on the evaluation team, that you invited them in, and you had, because you had built into these locations, these motion locations. So this is at the supplier location.
Yes.
You've built in evaluation space.
Correct. So we build rooms in our locations. Some have 3 or 4 in major urban centers where they're fully outfitted, as I mentioned, where the clients can come with the therapists and their caregivers and others, along with our staff, our ATPs, do evaluations and or dispense product to people in a, and again, in a, an environment that was very safe and accessible for those clients and therapists during COVID. And again, we've seen that trend continue where we used to do probably 5 to 10% of evaluations and in our facilities. And I think we've seen that grow tremendously during the pandemic.
Okay. So people who would have previously, pre-COVID, have gone to a medical facility, a clinic, a hospital, something like that, they could maybe feel more comfortable because they're going to a motion evaluation room where it's not also full of COVID patients. You don't also have to go through a waiting room full of people who have many different maybe medical conditions or ailments or illnesses. They could just come to your place. You're using all the personal protective equipment, I'm sure, and doing the cleanings, but you also have trial equipment, like demonstration equipment, where people can try different types of equipment there in your
room? And that's a very good point, Lori, to this, because we also, obviously, we have all of the wide variety of equipment that's available, and also technical support on hand and parts and things that where we can do a more, obviously, custom or changes to that equipment on the spot versus having to go back and forth and potentially book other appointments. That's another great point, and I'm glad you mentioned it, because it really did augment that level of service and getting things done right the first time without numerous visits. And as you know, a lot of facilities also limited the number of access to, you know, family members and other caregivers because of their COVID protocols. So, you know, where we obviously could allow a little more leeway in that with the right protocols in place.
So the advantage of being in one of Motion's evaluation rooms is that there's not the pressure on your team member to anticipate every potential variation of equipment and take all that in the van to go down to the hospital, where obviously you can't fit everything into the van. So you have to kind of pick and choose what you think you probably will need. If I'm in the Motion evaluation room, though, I mean, you can probably switch pretty quickly if you want to try a different alternative driving control or different or something like that. You have a much wider array of demonstration equipment there. And as you mentioned, you've got the people who know how to make the adjustments right there as well. You've got a larger number of people who can help with the adjustments or fittings or for trials right on the spot.
Absolutely. That's exactly was part of the goal of that.
That's what was going. That's what was happening that you saw. And that's a good point, too, that if there were two parents, right, with a child, both parents could come, whereas in the hospital, maybe only one person can come and that's it because we're really restricting. But this one, maybe you could have both parents. You could have the grandmother who babysits after school every day. You could have the speech language pathologist. You could have the respiratory therapist and everybody who needed really to be part of that evaluation and get their opinions listened to, right, and give feedback on. Those people were able to come to your facility where perhaps that would have been impossible for them to do under COVID protocols in a regular medical facility. That's really interesting. I like
it. Yeah, it's really been great. And like I say, we see the trend continue after where, you know, therapists that we worked with and experienced that environment found it beneficial for the reason, all the reasons we just talked about. So they're continuing it with it without to a higher level. There are certainly times and it's more convenient for them to work in their facility. We know that. But again, we're very happy that we had a little foresight to build these facilities that way for a lot of reasons. And the other purpose that it did serve, Lori, was someone came in for a service interaction, a repair on their equipment, that we could transfer them in that room, transfer them out of the equipment. They had a private safe room to remain in if they wanted to for that while that repair was undertaken if they came to our facility. So it also serves that purpose as well. And during the pandemic, that was very, very useful.
I imagine, too, if you've got somebody coming in for what they think is a routine repair and you find something is different, you've outgrown the system, maybe this is, you know, we need to bring you in for an eval, you could kind of start that off right there and show them, you know, this is a slightly larger system, or if it's someone who's progressing, right? Well, maybe we have these other alternative driving controls. Maybe we could try something like that. So it's just whatever reason they come in for, you have so much equipment right there on the spot that you can demonstrate or try. I totally understand why the clinicians would say, hey, let's keep doing it that way. That's working really well to come to your facility for at least some of these. We want to keep that going. That's working really well for us.
And it really works well also on the dispense of the equipment when someone is actually going to get their new chair after an eval, because again, if any adjustments need to be made on the spot, they can, again, they keep the right team members are there, the equipment, the parts, anything you need for those things is there as well, as opposed to, again, potentially causing another appointment or another out call to their home for the provider.
Right. So saving everybody some time because it's sort of a equipment central there where you are, technology central. A follow-up question to the pandemic. We're now, it seems like, at the point with COVID that we get these sort of roller coaster effects, right? We get new variants coming in and then the numbers of COVID cases go up and then that wave kind of crests and falls and then we see lower numbers of cases for a while and it kind of goes up and down. Have you seen that impact how people behave, how your customers behave? Do you have, for instance, more clients getting reluctant to come in when the numbers start going up? And when they come down, then they all kind of rush and say, hey, can I come in for service? Has there been any of that? And I also wanted to ask if you've done any remote services work, whether that's the clinician using telehealth to come in and being on a laptop, you know, looking in via video conference. And if you've been using anything like remote services, how has that been received by the motion team, by the clinicians, and by the consumers themselves?
Well, Laura, we've certainly had to deal with a high number of, you know, cancellations and rescheduling of appointments, you know, at different waves of the pandemic. I think everyone in our industry had to deal with that. We actually have generated data from our system and with our client base that shows that roller coaster effect in this environment in 2021. We shared some of that data with our primary funder in Ontario as part of our annual plan review with them. And, you know, we all found it very interesting. And, you know, there's no doubt that those waves put strain on the system, on everyone in the system. So, you know, it's striking that service calls, especially urgent service calls, decreased during times where COVID cases were very high and during lockdowns. And then they surged after these periods subsided. We believe that these surges caused a big backlog, you know, in terms of people waiting for service. And we saw that after effect. And then in our cases, you know, people were waiting for funding approval from repairs from various payers. And in turn, you know, that impacted the completion of the service and times and our response times, unfortunately, because of those waves. So we certainly did see that. And again, we have data that shows it quite clearly. I think as far as telehealth and remote services go, this is one area that I believe the industry has taken a very positive and I hope permanent step forward on behalf of our clients and the people we serve. Very, very early in the pandemic, we pivoted to offer virtual visits for both service assessments and for initial equipment evaluations. Sometimes repairs can be done solely through a remote appointment with secure applications. If it's correcting a program thing or something that's rare or something just became unhooked, we can potentially see it through a virtual interaction. And other times it was really just to do a quick assessment and then appointments were required in person, of course. But either way, it reduced the number of touch points with our clients and reduced the response times. And I believe it kept people safe and enhanced their experience with us. And a number of clients have told us that. In turn, we lobbied our payers for authorization to allow these types of appointments early in the pandemic and to provide coverage for these types of appointments, both again, service interactions and equipment evaluations. And we saw great success in this area. They were very willing to work with us on that. And I believe in a lot of the constituents that we're talking to today, that did happen and with great success. And I think it hopefully becomes a permanent fixture in industry for both our ability to do more with technology virtually, and also that our payers recognize that, and it can be an efficient way of service delivery. So with or without COVID, again, I think this is a progressive offering. We look forward to continuing to provide our clients with that in conjunction with all the new technology that's being offered through our manufacturers, especially in the power wheelchair segment, such as remote diagnostic capabilities and other things where we can do initial assessments of their needs.
I'm from California. California is a very large place, very spread out place. Obviously, Canada, huge country. I assume that there's always going to be a segment of consumers and caregivers who are going to find it difficult to regularly come in to in-person appointments, right? I mean, it's always just going to be difficult for them, whether it's a distance situation or it's difficult for them to get transportation. Whatever the situation is, for a certain segment of our consumer population, telehealth and remote services is going to be helpful. Is that what you've seen?
Absolutely. And that's a great point, Lori. I mean, it certainly is very much applicable in the rural areas that we serve. In Canada, we pretty much cover a lot of very remote areas for Indigenous people and also Northern Ontario and northern parts of our country where access to services can be quite a strain and quite stressful for those clients. So you're absolutely right. That's a great point. So that does open up the opportunity to do, again, especially service interactions remotely and also evaluation visits, at least to understand what those needs are. At some point, we're going to have to obviously get with them and with the clinician and do things hopefully in a one-time or thorough way as much as possible in person. But certainly this virtual world is helping us with those initial interactions and centering on those needs and bringing more clear definition to that for sure. Yeah, the great point.
Especially when you get somebody with maybe you've just done a delivery or the equipment is fairly new and it's more on the complex side. So maybe a power chair or whatever. If that person can, you know, literally take a smartphone and show you like, what does this light mean? Or I'm recharging it and I don't know that it's charging all the way. My batteries aren't charging all the way. What does this mean? You know, or what does this light mean on my joystick, my controller? That's something that you could even do a little bit of training and education. And at least start off with a remote service session, if they have questions like that, without you having to necessarily send a tech to drive an hour and a half each way, right? Just for the tech to get there and realize they don't know how to recharge. They don't know how to like charge the battery. And that was the entire problem. So you're also seeing it be helpful, remote services being helful for those sorts of situations?
100%. That's probably the biggest benefit we saw was those initial interactions where someone has an issue with their chair, whether new or old, where we could do exactly what you said, whether it's FaceTime or whatever, get them on there to show us what's going on. If we weren't able to dial in through a remote diagnostic application, that we could at least visually see what's going on, a caster flutter or a light on their, you know, something telling them there's something wrong, like, and do that initial assessment. And again, my understanding from our service teams is that they were able to solve a lot of issues right off the bat with that in terms of, like you said, a lot of these interactions are around batteries or battery charging and that maintenance of that equipment. You can certainly tell that very quickly with a with a visual check and a conversation. So yes, that was probably the most prominent use in the virtual world during the pandemic, was for the what you just described. Absolutely. Our market in Ontario specifically does not include service on equipment after it's dispensed. So the users, the clients are responsible for that payment, and whether, again, they have someone behind them in insurance or whatever. But we were getting paid for those virtual interactions as well.
So better customer service all the way around, because they're having to wait less time to talk to a tech. You're able to solve a number of these problems just with a video conference and audio session. They feel taken care of. You can bill for it, and you just think, yay, we didn't have to have a 4-hour drive time in there, and my techs can now focus on the stuff that really needs an in-person visit, right? You really want to use them wisely, because there's only so many miles they can drive per day. And if you can focus them on those in-person visits that absolutely have to happen, but maybe even for those in-person visits, you know it's a cast or flutter issue.
Correct.
Before they even go out there, right? So you kind of have an inkling of what to expect, maybe what equipment you might want to take or replacement parts you want to take. The tech isn't getting there just cold with absolutely no idea what is going on.
And it often resulted in less visits and a higher client satisfaction. There's no doubt about that.
Okay, perfect. My last question is really focusing on Motion's team, because obviously I think you had a lot of unexpected steps added to your day, right? Tasks added to your day. I mean, whether that's just finding enough masks and gloves and shields and all that, and teaching everyone how to properly use it, and what's our policy for, you know, making sure the vans are stocked with them and all that kind of thing, all the way to obviously these surges where you're going to have, you know, a whole bunch of service calls coming in all at once, and you're trying to prioritize and everything. Obviously, it's a lot on your team, who's also obviously having to deal with their own family issues at home as well, you know, keeping everyone safe at home. Maybe somebody gets sick, maybe there's homeschooling going on. So it's been a really difficult time. So I wanted to sort of address now professionally for your own internal team, what you've been doing and how you've adjusted, not just to the pandemic, but you mentioned that definitely telehealth is something, remote services are something that you want to hold on to going forward. So do you have a better idea of what your new and evolving normal will look like? Have you instituted anything that you want to keep permanent because it's worked well for your team?
Well, the obvious thing to talk about here is in terms of our support team. Obviously, our field teams and our locations, our ATPs and our service technicians, our frontline healthcare workers, let's be honest about it. They're working with clients every day, and no avoiding that. I mean, we certainly were more flexible with them and their own personal needs. We provided extra COVID days as far as sick day coverage if that was to happen, or they were isolated. So we worked very closely with our employees to make sure everyone was as safe and felt as comfortable as possible. Obviously, in the PPE, we spent hundreds of thousands of dollars on PPE, and still are, to that for that matter. We're still spending that, maybe not to the same extent, but we certainly are in terms of cleaning protocols, both in our facility and with the equipment and all the PPE associated. I mean, you know, I think it's important with people with certain conditions, we need to protect them and ourselves still on an ongoing basis. I think we learned that from the pandemic as well. So all of those things happened. I mean, it subsided to some degree. I guess what we did learn is the important role that we play in the circle of healthcare in our industry, and that we are an essential service. We are part of the circle of healthcare for these individuals with disabilities and for a lot of seniors as well. And, you know, I think it really helped us build our culture in our organization around what we're really here to do and how good we are at it and our purpose. You know, I think the pandemic really brought that to light very quickly, that role that we play and that purpose.
Okay, perfect. Thank you so much, Jeff. I really appreciate your time. I hope you'll come back and do another one of these with me, because it was fun and it's always nice to get your perspective.
I'd love to come back, Lori, and thank you for having me. And again, thanks for all the work you're doing and bringing information out to our providers network. Thank you very much.
Well, with that, we'll wrap up our podcast with Jeff Preston from Motion. My thanks to Jeff for his time and for sharing his experiences and perspectives. And my thanks to Motion as well. Mobility Management podcasts are available for listening and downloading on iTunes, Google Podcasts, and Stitcher. The best way to make sure you don't miss any of our episodes is to subscribe. And you can also go onto our website, mobilitymgmt.com, to listen there. Thanks very much for being with us, and we'll be back again with another episode soon.